greet you from the lovely nation of Canada, specifically on the way out from Vancouver. And just greet you in that name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, He is Lord. He is over all. The glory of the Lord will indeed grow and fill the whole earth. You know, we've been spending some time, you know, recently just looking at some things and studying and having a chance and a little bit of a space and break to research and to understand and to look at all that goes on in the world. And in the midst of that, we continue to see, you know, the very fact that there's really only two kingdoms in existence in this world. There is the kingdom of light, the dominion of God, the dominion of the all-powerful, ever-living, ever-present creator of this universe. And you have the kingdom of darkness, you know, which is under the prince of the power of the air, or Satan, which, you know, that's the second kingdom. And outside of those two kingdoms, that's it, really. I mean, all the world and its different manifestations and the different things that go on in the world, those are all extensions. But they ultimately boil down to those kingdoms and those two. And either you are under the power of Satan, you know, and subject to this world and this world system, or you are under the dominion of the living God and protected by Him and under His leading, His guiding, His plan and His purpose. And really, that's all there is. You know, I mean, if you think that you're doing things yourself, and if it's yourself and self-will, and you are doing as thou wilt, you know, which is the satanic mantra, if you're doing that, if you think that you are in control, well, just know that you are actually part of the world and the world system. Because there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Basically, anything that you would do apart from or outside of Christ would amount to nothing, and it would be part and would fuel that world system. You know, I know that people sometimes get upset or angry about that reality, but it is what it is. And if you can understand and reconcile that truth within you, then you can actually at least go forward knowing what you're doing and knowing what you're a part of. Because if you're on the side of light and truth, if you remain in Him and His words remain in you, then you bear fruit. You are like a branch in John 15 that, you know, you bear much fruit because you are connected to the source. You're connected to the vine, which is Christ Jesus. And, you know, like Jesus said, apart from Me, you can do nothing. So if you're separate from Him, then, you know, you're outside. You're outside of that source. So, hey, I just started getting on a roll here, but in the vehicle, on the way, is Pat. Pat.
Hey, guys. How we doing? Hope everybody's good out there. We're putting some time to try to not understand God, but, you know, just spend time with Him and, you know, just really, spend time with Him. I think right now that's kind of, everybody's called to do that, to spend time with Him. That's one thing we all need to do, you know, just spend time with Him, intimate time with Him, you know. To prayer and worship and, you know, just talking to Him. You know, it doesn't have to be always in a close quarters and you know, kneeling down on your knees, and which is, all these things are good, but it can be while we're driving, while you are in the public transportation, just going to work, you know. There's so many times that, you know, we have a chance to talk to Him and we just don't take that time. You know, we get so wrapped up and with so many other things and thinking about work and family and what am I going to do for supper tonight, where I got to go this weekend, or which friend I'm going to hang out with this week. You know, so many things we think about, and we so often forget about Him, our source, because God is our source. You know, for some people, it's the other side. It's the devil is their source. You know, but the one thing that we all know that God is the big kid on the block, and he's the most powerful one by far. So it's important to spend time with him. So I encourage everybody, to all the listeners, to do that. Spend time with him. Spend time.
And spend time with one another in the things of God and in the things of the Word. You know, one thing too is we've been spending some time in reading and praying. We've also been spending time, you know, understanding the strategies of the enemy and understanding the ways that the enemy works. Because you should not be ignorant to the devil's schemes, because he has methods, he has ways that he works, he has means of operation. And you know, one of the ways that he worked to compromise the church, the true church of the living God, was to get people to think that church was something that you did and not something that you are. You know, the early church, the followers of Christ, they grew in incredible strength through the first 300 years because they understood that church was who you were, not what you did, not a place that you went. And, you know, I mean, there was powerful moves of God that took place with, but the thing was, is they were who they were, and everywhere that they went, they shared the gospel. They shared the good news with other people that they needed to know. And, they were living epistles. If somebody killed them, they'd bless them. Because if you killed a Christian, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So you can't kill a Christian. They just go on from this life into the next. So, I mean, there's that, you know, we as scripturally, we don't fear anybody that can kill the body. But, you know, rather we fear the one that, you know, after the body's gone, that can throw the soul into hell. You know, that's the one you're supposed to fear. And the devil can't do that. Only the living God, you can be separated from him. He has authority over your eternal destiny. So that's why we also walk with him. But the early church, they met around the Word and around the truth all the time. You know, if you read the last five verses of the book of in the book of Acts in chapter 2, it talks about how, you know, they met daily. They met house to house. They were in the marketplace. They were wherever it was that they met, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is among them. So right now, you know, even as we meet, even over the airwaves, you know, over the digital divide, you know, this is two and three gathered together in his name. So you know that the Spirit of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is right there among us. And so as we break the Word, as we turn our attentions and our affections continually towards him, we see his presence. We see the manifestation of his life in us. That, and we know the truth. The Spirit of God leads and guides us into all truth. You know, here's one way too that works. Okay, now this is something that, you know, as we've continued to walk, we've continued to also grow in grace and grow in knowledge and understanding. And we share that understanding with you because, you know, Lord willing, it would help you and save you some time in your own journey. Just apply it. But one way that God works with us is sometimes, you know, this is why you've got to listen to the voice of the Spirit, because sometimes what God will do is he'll quicken you in your spirit, and even if you can't necessarily articulate something, you just know that this is what you're supposed to do because the Spirit of the Lord compels you. So sometimes God may just say, look, this is the way, walk ye in it. Go this way, go that way, do this, don't do that. Don't spend time with these people, spend time with this person. You know, whatever it may be, you don't know what that may be. Okay, oh, wait, we're back. So, you know, the Spirit of the Lord will quicken you. He will compel you, you know, inside towards something. And sometimes you may not be able to articulate why, but you just know you need to. And as time goes on, you may later on understand why that was that you did what you did. But, you know, you've got to trust him. See, this is where, too, you just got to trust the way the Spirit of God works. Because sometimes, even if you can't put words to it, you still know that this is what you need to do. And so then you do it. You do it. You respond. You respond to the way that God works with you. And I remember one time I was in Sri Lanka, and I woke up one morning and I poured a bowl of cereal and I put some milk on it, and I was just about to eat it, and I felt the Spirit of God tell me, you know, don't eat it. And I knew He spoke to me, but I was like, no, maybe that's not Him or whatever. Maybe that's just me making something up in my head. I went, took a bite, milk was sour, tasted it in my mouth, and then I was like, ah, and He said, see, I told you, don't eat it. And it was just that thing of, you know, me learning, okay, this is just God working with me, God training me, God helping me to understand how He works with me, how He speaks. But you know, when you learn, okay, this is the voice of God, this is how He speaks to you. And sometimes, you know, you may not know what's necessarily going on there. You may not know that the milk is bad. But He's telling you something for your own protection, for your own guidance, and for you to obey, you know, rather than murmur and complain and doubt and act on something and try to justify it later. If you just obey, you will be blessed in that. Success is in the obedience, not in the result. You know, for the follower of Christ, success is in the obedience. It's not in the result. The results are in God's hand. Because you and I, we don't see the big picture. We don't see the consequences, the positive consequences for our actions and for our obedience. We just see that there's something that we need to do. And you and I need to respond. We just need to do that which God puts in front of us, because in doing so, there's a blessing there. And God's purposes are manifest. So, you know, learning that is part of the martial art of a disciple. You know, it's part of that, of what you learn, and learning how to walk and trust in Him. It's just saying, okay, this is how He speaks to me, and I know that I know that I know that this is His voice. And, you know, the place where that sometimes gets tough, too, is when, you know, you want to be a nice guy or a nice girl, but, you know, God shows you something, and it might seem harsh about a particular situation, about particular people, but you need to keep going with wisdom and tact in those situations, and realize that this is still Him speaking to you, Him still showing you what's what. And a lot of times God is showing you things for your own protection, for your own ability to walk through this world, because you know what? The devil has laid many, many traps out there for the purpose of attacking and destabilizing and hurting the church and hurting the body of Christ. A prime example of that is found in the book of Acts in chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira, you know, they came into a particular situation, and they wanted to be, as they were filled, as Satan had filled their hearts, so Scripture says. They wanted to infiltrate the church with something. They wanted to bring something in there. And in that time, you know, the early church, you know, Peter stood up and called him on it, as the Spirit of God quickened him. And those two died. Right there, they dropped dead. Well, first, Ananias dropped dead. Sapphira showed up 2 hours later. She participated in the lie, lying to the Holy Spirit, dropped dead as well. You know, God is not playing. And, you know, in the early church, that's the kind of way that they lived. There was the fear of the Lord among them. You don't lie to the Holy Spirit. You don't lie to God. You don't lie to you don't try to play with Him. You know, as time has gone on, you know, and Satan has infiltrated, you know, to a lot of the organizations, gradually, a gradual slow process of weakening people that were in leadership, of compromising people that should be raising up a standard of truth, an uncompromising standard of truth. You know, the thing about being a follower of Christ is you can live without compromise. You know, the world is constantly needing to compromise themselves. followers of Christ can live in absolutes. You know, they can make decisions and make choice based upon the Word of God being the absolute truth and walk in that. And that gives them a sure foundation. That gives them a solid footing for making a choice. And you need that. You need to have that assurance in your heart. You know, we've said it before, the Bible is the only truth in the earth realm. It is. That's it. There is no other truth. There are some nice flowery teachings out there. There's some nice facts. There's some nice things that maybe will be, you know, some good things to consider or helpful or useful tools. But the Bible is the only truth. And that is the truth that sets you free. That has the answer for whatever it is that you face, whatever it is that you struggle with. The answer can be found in the Word of God. Do you know that in business, you know, the book of Proverbs is probably the most powerful book that you can read. Of all the business books that exist in the world, the book of Proverbs is the most powerful business book for practical application out there for business success. Do you know that? As far as like things that you can use and you can apply that will help you in the different things that you are doing in this life, God has put it in His Word. You know, for raising a good family, it's there. You know, to ignore the Word, to ignore the Scriptures, is to do so at your own peril. Is to do so in jeopardizing yourself and in jeopardizing who it is that you were made to be. But when you live your life according to the Word and to the truth, that that life that you live has the potential to be the maximum. And God wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. He doesn't want you to live a compromised life. He doesn't want to live you. He doesn't want you to live a life of half measures. But you know, this sometimes happens too with people, is they will live a life of half measures because they will only apply part of the Word. You know, there's different people throughout history that have tried to pick and choose, but you can't pick and choose. You know, you are subject to the entire Word of God, whether you like it or not. Because if you choose to reject it, well, there's also application of the Word of God for those that choose to reject the truth. And what happens to them as a result of their rejection. You know, it's in Proverbs it says that a man's ways destroys his own life, yet his heart rages against God. I mean, how many people have destroyed their own life, been the source of their own destruction, and yet they get mad at God? But it's the result of their choices, their decisions. You know, I mean, how many people get upset about the things going on in the world, and yet they don't realize, and they've been blinded by the enemy, and they don't realize that it's a satanic system doing so many of these things, and it's people in participation with that, making decision and making choice along those lines. And God gives people a window of time to be able to make choice. And you see the consequence of choosing apart from the kingdom of God and how devastating that is to people's own lives. You know, when you choose apart from that, when you sin, something dies. That's just the way it works. You know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Every time you and I sin, something dies. You know, God came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. You know, you have the power in you by the Holy Spirit to not sin. He's given you that. He's given you a power within you to quicken you so that you do not have to be subject to these things. Okay, so it is necessary, it is imperative in your walk to have understanding. Now, the understanding that you and I want is the understanding that God reveals to us. It's the Spirit of God that gives light and truth, that leads and guides us into all truth. You know, there's a certain way that the world works, which is a pursuit of knowledge. But it's sort of like a self-inflated, egotistical you know, almost even like, okay, don't you see how smart I am, or how smart I am because I've figured out all this stuff. No, that's not what you want. You want wisdom and knowledge that comes from the living God. God gives you revelation and understanding in what to do and how to do it. He gives you an understanding heart. You know, the world is full of information right now. I mean, we live in an information age. My goodness. There is information available for just about anything that you would like to do. But when it comes to wisdom and understanding, you know, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It all comes from Him. And you've got to realize that. And the other thing, too, is you need to also have knowledge and understanding about what the works of the enemy are and how the devil works and how his strategies work. Because, see, the thing is, too, is if you don't understand the methods of your enemy, and actually in the book of Ephesians, it talks about, you know, us not being ignorant of the devil's schemes. That word scheme, you know, is the Greek word metrios, which is where we get the word methods. We're not ignorant of the devil's methods. You know, there's a way that the devil uses. Time and again, he uses the same tricks. You know, he might dress them up a little bit differently, but it's the same things over and again. And he has a very deliberate agenda, and he has a very deliberate agenda for you. You know, and ultimately, he would like to twist you and contort you and make you be as far away from what it was that God made you to be as possible. You know, God made you to be, you were designed to be, you were destined to be a child of the living God. To go from glory to glory, strength to strength, to reflect His presence, and to be, you know, an ambassador of Christ in the earth. That's what God made you for. And the devil would rather twist you and turn you and, you know, pierce you full of sorrows and get you to be everything but what God made you to be. So that if somebody would see you, they would see as far away from being a reflection of God as possible. So realize that the devil does not care about you. The world and the world system does not care about you. Even the people that think that they're running the world and the world system. Look, the devil doesn't care about you either. And when he's done with you, he's going to throw you away just like he's thrown away all the rest of them that have come before. You know, all the people that are caught in the world system, your only way out is Jesus. Your only way out is the blood of Jesus. Your only way out is the forgiveness that He offers you. And, you know, it may cost you, you're forfeiting your position, your place, your title, your fortune, your wealth, whatever it is that you may have accumulated in that, but your soul will be saved, and God will make a way for those that you love and care about, if you would break the satanic ranks and follow Christ. But as long as you stay in there, you are damning yourself, and you are also setting up those that follow your example for a destructive path as well. You know, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. You, even as Paul said, you know, of whom I am chief. You know, I mean, if you look at your own life, if I look at my own life, if we went by just who we've been and the mistakes that we've made, we know that we were broken and we needed salvation. We needed a Savior, and Jesus made that way, and we've received that gift. But without that gift, without receiving that, you and I are in for just an eternity of hurt, and that hurt goes day to day even while you're still here on the earth. But God has redeemed you. God has saved you. God has given you a way out, and that way out, you need to live it. You need to live it. You know, this is who we are. This is not something that we do. You know, God has called you to live this. And that's why the devil is working very hard to try to get people to separate and to try to, you know, there's the power, the kingdom of God, you know, it's not a matter of word, but of power. The true power is in the followers of Christ that serve Him for real. The power of God is there. And God puts His power in them, and His power flows through them. You know, there's no power in a compromised, weakened, nominal person that's wishy-washy and on the fence. Because it's all diluted down. They're just kind of trying to scrape by and just sort of make it. But there's no power in that. You know, their foundations are weak. They're built on the sand. They collapse when the storms and the trials of life just begin to even show themselves. You know, rather, the need is to follow God with all of your heart. And as you do that, you know, you will have spiritual power in you. You'll have spiritual strength in you. And when you go and when you are in the battle against the enemy, you know, he's not going to be able to penetrate your armor because you're standing solid and you're sealed up as unto God. Look, the way you do it, you give 100% of who you are to all of God that you know, and that's sufficient. God will meet you right there, and God will strengthen you and build you up. And as you continue to walk with Him, the places where things might seem off or they're not what they need to be, look, God will work with you on those. But you just keep going with Him. You just keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Pat?
I agree with you, my brother. Amen.
So, yeah. No, I mean, it's, you know, we That the truth of the gospel is that, you know, though the nations of the world may rage and though, you know, the Babylonian system might be doing all the things that it's doing, the vision of Daniel stands true. You know, that rock that was cut without human hands and came and smashed the idol, and the idol was pulverized into powder and it just was no more. That rock grew and filled the whole earth. You know, that rock is Christ. You know, He is the Word that was made flesh. That rock is the rock on which you and I are built. That rock is the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, that rock is the truth. And that truth smashes the idol, smashes the Babylonian system, smashes the system of the world. That's why you've got to stand in the truth. Your life has got to be grounded in the truth. You have to know the truth. And when you wield the truth, and the truth comes out of your mouth, and that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is the truth, is in your mouth, and you speak it, it shatters it. It shatters that world. It shatters that thing that's cloaked in darkness. Things done in secret. All that stuff. It has to bow before the truth. Because the truth is always true. The lie is always weak. Because it has no foundation. But the truth stands strong. The truth will always be the truth. You know, I had a buddy one time, we were talking, and he told me, he said, you know what, Govinda? He said, I'm not smart enough to be a liar. So I asked him, well, what do you mean? He said, well, he said, when you lie, you always have to remember what you said last. He says, but when you tell the truth, you never have to remember what you said last, because the truth will always remain the truth. And I've always remembered that conversation, that those words that my friend spoke to me, because it's solid. If you look at the worlders, they lie. And Lucifer, the devil, he's the father of all lies. So when they lie, they do what their father's doing. See, we only do what we see our father doing. Jesus only spoke the truth. Likewise, we only speak the truth. Whereas the devil, who's the father of all lies, those that follow him, they lie too. Children of the devil lie. And the thing is that, you know, they have to always remember what they said last. And the problem is, especially now in the age where basically everything is recorded, everything's digital, everything's out there, people are, you know, the very fact that they live in this time, all of it's there. So, you know, in the midst of all that takes place right now, you know, they can't cover their lies. And they're cracking up. And because they're cracking up, they're on this mad dash to try to accomplish their satanic agenda before all of it just starts coming apart. Because, you know, the thing about a lie is it keeps building. It keeps building. It keeps going, growing, and getting higher and higher. And that higher that it goes, the bigger the fall will be when that tower crashes, because there's no foundation to it. So it does crash. The lies always crash. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why the world has to change out world leaders every 4 to 6 years, depending on where in the world that you are, because they need a new face to carry on the lie. They need a new person to carry that on. And you know, the thing about it is, by and large, it's very, very rare that you find a world leader that serves the living God. Very rare. You know, Jesus was offered that in Matthew 4, Luke 4, by the devil. Lucifer offered it to him. He said, look, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. It's mine to give. And Jesus said, depart from me, Satan. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Because what did he want? He said, all you got to do is bow down and worship me, and it'll all be yours. You know, but Jesus said, look, you shall worship the Lord your God. Him only shall you serve. See, we are under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That is the reason why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were tossed into the fiery furnace. Is ultimately they refused to bow. Ultimately, when they came down to it, look, they would do a good job as far as it was not against their faith and their walk with Christ. They would do a good job. They would serve faithfully, they were slaves, they were in captivity, that was their situation. They would do what they were supposed to do, but as far as where their spiritual allegiance was, what did they say to Nebuchadnezzar? O king, we are not careful in answering you according to this matter. As for the image that you've set up, we will not bow. They said, look, in this area, we don't have to be politically correct. We don't have to sugarcoat our words. We know where we stand. We're not going down. We are not bowing our knee before anything set up. Because you shall serve no other gods. You shall have no other gods before me. Exodus chapter 20. 10 commandments. I am the Lord thy God. You shall have no other gods before me. You will not serve an idol. You will not serve any other god. He is a jealous God. Look, a husband is jealous for his bride, right? He doesn't want a bride that he has to share with others. He does not want a bride who has affections for other people, who has got wandering eyes. What man wants to marry a woman like that? No real man wants to marry a woman like that. But, you know, that God wants our loyalty, our affection, our hearts. And he's not going to force that. There's free will involved. And both the kingdom of God as well as the kingdom of the enemy, they both respect your free will and your free choice. You make a decision, you make a choice, you choose this day whom you will serve. If you choose light, you receive the blessing of walking under that kingdom and the dominion of the king. If you choose darkness, well, that's what you get. If you choose the world and the way of the world, that's what you get. And while the world may give some trinkets and position in their system, which is all rank and file, and they're all pretty darn miserable, They're all sedating themselves or drinking themselves into an early grave or sexing themselves or doing whatever they can to keep from dealing with the harsh reality that they've sold their soul for nothing, for trinkets. And like Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul in Mark chapter 8? What do you get? You got the whole thing, but you lost what was really important. You lost that which was eternal. You gave it up of your free will. Worlders give it up of their free will. They make a decision. They choose the world and they reject Christ. They reject the King of Kings. And many times people reject Him because they fear losing what they think they have in the world. But the thing is, you don't have anything in the world. Everything in this world, all of it is passing away. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. For if any man loves the world or the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all the things of the world and the lust thereof, they're all passing away. All of it will be gone. In a flash, in a twinkling of an eye. You know what? Even with all the people talking about apocalyptic scenarios and situations, all of that, look, your own departure from this life is your own personal apocalypse, all right? On the day that you take your last breath, everything that you have or you think you have in this world, it's not there anymore. You will leave it here, and you will go on from this life into the next and into your eternal destiny. So if you choose to follow the devil, who's already damned, by the way, in case you didn't know it, in case you haven't read the book, the devil, Satan, you know where he ends up? He ends up for all eternity in a lake of fire. That's what the scripture says. And the scriptures are real. The scriptures are true. And you know what? The devil hates you because you have the potential to not be there. So because you are made in the image and the likeness of God, and he can't get to God because God is not gettable, so the only way that he wants to try to do it is to try to mar God's creation and mar you and take you to hell with him. So who's the idiot that signs up for that? Sells that which is eternal, lets go of that which is eternal, and follows the way of the world to spend an eternity in hell with the devil? In a lake of fire with the devil? Are you kidding me? Look, the devil lost, and he lost at the cross. It's already done. We know it. All the angels and all the demons know it. Everybody in eternity knows it. You know what? And even those that serve the devil, even on the higher levels, the lower levels, they're just in a drunken stupor. They don't know. Or maybe they do know, but they're just sort of floating. But the higher levels, they even know and understand it too, but they've bought in. They've gone so deep they don't know what to do, and they're just kind of along for that ride, and they're so afraid. Look, wherever it is that somebody is, whatever your situation is, if you turn, if you repent, if you call out to the living God, if you ask Him, if you ask the Lord Jesus to save you, He will save you. If you ask Him to save you, He will save you. The power of Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus is sufficient to redeem anyone. Anyone can be saved. You know, provided that you have not, don't take the chip, obviously. You know, and that's going to be coming. That's on the horizon as well. And you see how these things are being set up. You know, I mean, look, also again, one of the methods of the devil, one of the methods of the world is problem, reaction, solution. Create a problem, then customize the reaction and get people to react in a particular way, and then offer a potential solution in lines with what it is that you want to accomplish or what it is that you want people to do as you work them towards a progressive goal, or in not necessarily progressive in this case, as you're working them towards your ultimate agenda. And for the world system to take the soul, they're working people towards a place of them overtly and permanently submitting themselves to the world and the world system and rejecting God. So people are, you know, making that choice on a daily basis. But, you know, you make a choice. And right now, while you have the window, choose and choose well. Choose light. Choose truth. Choose Christ. Look, God is getting this message to you so that you can make a good decision. He's getting this message to you so that you know He loves you. And that you know that you can be saved out of whatever situation that you're in. He's getting this message to you so that you know that there is hope. Your hope is in Christ. And you know what? You may have to let go of everything to follow Him. But you know what? Nothing that you had before mattered anyways. Let Him be everything. And that's enough. He will take care of you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will carry you through. He will bring you out. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, God will save. So keep that in mind. And act on it. You know what? Look, wherever you are, wherever you may be hearing this, if you don't know Him, just ask Him. Say, Lord Jesus, I don't know You, but I want to know You. Lord Jesus, would You just come into my heart? Would You save me? Would You reveal Yourself to me? Would You save me from myself? Save me from my sins? Save me from this world and this world system? And I want to follow You. I want to know the truth. I want You to set me free. I want the abundant life You offered me. Pray it. Pray that. Ask that of God in Jesus' name. And you'll have it. Ask and you shall receive. Pat, any closing thoughts, man?
Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. You know, you know, everybody got their time that they got to check out of this world, you know, and the biggest assets you have, it's your soul, nothing else. Because when you go, you go as you are. You don't bring any money, any luggage or whatever. When you die on your own, you know, and you got to face the Almighty God. And you want to make sure that you have your soul, man, that you haven't sold out to the other side. Sell out for Christ. It's the best business deal, the best deal you can ever make in your life. It's to give your life to Christ. The best deal you can ever make, no matter what happened.
Amen. Yeah, complete agreement. Hey, God bless you guys. We love you. Drop us an email. Say hi. Faithmix@gmail.com. You can reach us through that. Or you can also reach us through our Facebook page. Just search for Faithmix, one word, and you will find us there. Keep on keeping on. And drop us a mail. Say hi. We love you guys. We're praying for you. Talk to you soon.